The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. Jesus has been teaching his disciples about what is most valued in God's eyes. Now a conversation with a rich man brings his message home to the disciples in a way that is surprising but unforgettable. I begin reading at verse 17. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And his disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house, or brothers, or sisters, or mother, or father, or children, or fields, for my sake and for the sake of the good news, who will not receive 100-fold now in this age, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I ask the children come forward for the children's sermon.
Okay, everybody's up here? That's very good. Do you know that this is the day the Lord has made, and we can rejoice and be glad in it? Are you happy today? I hope so, because God gave us today to be happy in. Okay, would you rather be first or last? First? Who would like to be first? Okay. You know, who was the first one to come up here this morning? I think you were, weren't you? But it doesn't really matter if we're first or last. I'm just glad y'all came up here. How could I have a children's sermon if there were no children? So, you did a good thing. In the gospel lesson that Pastor just read from the Bible, Jesus said, "Many who are first will be last." Wonder what that means. Anybody know what that would mean? Well, one day a young man came to Jesus and asked him what he had to do to go to heaven. He was rich and he had lots of things. Jesus looked at him and loved him. Then Jesus told him, "Sell all the things you have and give the money to the poor and come and follow me. And you will have treasures in heaven." Treasures are good things, aren't they? But the man turned and went away sad because he really, really liked all of his stuff. And he wanted to keep it all for himself. He didn't want to share with anyone. But do you know what Jesus said? heaven will be 100 times better than anything we have here, and it will be forever and ever. The man wanted it all now for number one. But heaven will last forever and ever. It will still be wonderful 100 years from now. That's a pretty long time, isn't it? Yes, but it'll never end. And remember, the good news is that we are important because God loves us and sent Jesus to save us from our sins. And Jesus will always love us, whether we are first or last. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for always caring for us, now and forever. And thank you, amen. And thank y'all for coming up.
There was a teenage boy who loved his music, and everywhere he went, he had to have his music with him. But sometimes it would cause some difficulties, particularly with his family when they would go on vacation. You see, this was the day and age before the iPhones or before MP3 players or even before the Sony Walkmans and the mixtapes. It was in the day that if you wanted to listen to music, you had to play it from one of the great big vinyl albums. And so this young man, this teenager, when he went somewhere, he would get a couple of grocery bags, the paper grocery sacks, and he could usually cull his albums down so that he could fill up one double bag. And his parents didn't like it so much because if they'd go off on vacation, they were already packed full of stuff. And here he wants to bring record albums along with him. Sometimes they would go places where he could actually play the record albums. They'd go to relatives' houses, and they usually have record players, but sometimes they would go other places. And he still had to take his music along with him. I imagine that teenager could understand how that rich young man felt that Jesus said, go and sell all that you have and give the proceeds to the poor. It was tough to do. The young man couldn't leave his record collection behind. The rich young man couldn't leave all of his wealth behind. Now, Jesus wasn't really criticizing the young man for having wealth. He didn't say it was bad to have wealth. He didn't say it was bad to be rich. As a matter of fact, there were some other people that Jesus knew who were also very wealthy. For instance, Zacchaeus. Jesus told Zacchaeus, come on down from that tree and I'll go visit you today. I'll have lunch with you. And Jesus never did say you have to get rid of everything that you own. Or Jesus also met Nicodemus, who was one of the rich rulers, one of the Sanhedrin, who was very wealthy too. And he met him at night and they had a conversation then about the Holy Spirit and about baptism. But Jesus never asked him to sell everything he had and give it to the poor. So why this young man? I think it's because maybe that this young man didn't necessarily control his riches. His riches controlled him. It was like he was possessed, not with a traditional type demon, but he was possessed with his wealth. His wealth possessed him. Jesus was offering healing. He was offering wellness. He was offering to heal this young man so that he could be made whole, so that he could be made full. You know, I guess that's the whole irony of this thing is that this young man had it all going for himself. He was young. He was probably in good health. He was probably well-respected. As he said, he had followed all of these laws. He was an upstanding citizen in his community. He had everything going for him. And it seemed like he would be full, but he was missing something in his life. He actually felt empty. And Jesus was saying that by giving up all that you have, you will actually be made full. Come and follow me. You know, today for us, this speaks to us as well, because we do have many things. We have many things in our lives. We may not be rich so to speak. We may not be young anymore. We may not always be so healthy. We've done some things in our lives maybe that we're not so respectable for. But still, we do have riches in our lives. We have homes. We have families. We more than likely have a little bit of money in the bank. We do fairly well for ourselves. But is there something in your life that you would not give up? Is there something that you absolutely have to cling to? I think what Jesus is talking about here, why he picked on this rich young man to give up everything he had before he came and followed him, is because it's an idea of perspective. It's an idea of perspective. What is truly the most important thing for life? For this rich young man, it was his wealth. He had maybe worked for it, or maybe he inherited it, but for the most part, it was his, or that was his claim. It's mine, and I can do with it whatever I want to. And that's what we say, too, with our wealth and what we have. It's mine. I can do with it whatever I want to. Nobody else can tell me what to do with the things that I own. Not only money or property or our homes or vehicles, but also things like even our own bodies. We say it's mine. I can do with it whatever I want to. But actually, everything belongs to God. Everything was given to us by God to take care of and to use here on this earth. And so it's really not ours. And that's the perspective that we look at the things that we do have. It's not ours. God has simply left it for me to use and to share and to build up and to take care of. And that's what it means to be a steward, is to take care of the things that God has given you to use. And so we need to take that into perspective. And for this rich young man, to give up all of that would be basically, he's not giving up his own stuff, he's just simply giving it back to God or giving it back to other people so that they can use it. It's really not his anyway. It's a matter of trust that God would take care of him yet, even if he gave up his wealth, if he gave up that security, if he gave up that security blanket that he had. The disciples didn't understand this because a lot of the thought in that day and time was is that if you're rich, if you have things going for you, those are blessings from God and that you have done something great, that you are a great person to have all of these things. And on the opposite end, if you have a disease, if you're hurt, then God is punishing you for something. And so the disciples had a hard time understanding this when Jesus said, it's easier how hard it will be for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. They were perplexed, the gospel says. And Jesus goes on to say that it'd be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. And that brings up an interesting picture here. In the cities in that day and time, many of them were walled. They were walled cities. They had stone walls all around the cities to protect them from bandits or thieves in the night or for invaders during any time. And so at night then, they would close the city gates. And so the city would be shut down. You can't get in, you can't get out. But there's always somebody that needs in or out. So what they would do is they had a small gate, either beside those great big gates or actually maybe a gate that's right in, made into the gate. They had a small door, and that was usually called the eye of a needle. And it was about 4 feet high and just wide enough for a person to go through, and it was built so low so that if enemies or thieves or anybody else would come through that gate, they were in a very vulnerable position, and it could be very easily defended. Now, it was possible to get a camel through that little 4-foot door. Sometimes merchants would come in and it would be late at night and the doors, they had missed the closing of the gates, and they'd be stuck outside and they would be vulnerable to thieves, robbers, or animals or anything else. And if they were desperate enough, they could come in that gate. But to do so meant that you had to unpack the camel. And you've seen pictures of camels in the Middle East where they have bags and and bundles and everything tied up to that camel, and it's just overloaded. Every single piece would have to come off of that camel. And then you would have to get the camel to kneel down in front of that door, and somebody would have to pull, and somebody would have to push, and that camel would be complaining the whole way through to get that animal through that little door. So you can just imagine that picture of trying to get a camel through the eye of a needle. And that's the illustration that Jesus uses here. That for it is very difficult because we cling to the things we love. Whether it's money, whether it's property, whether it's family. We cling to those things and we put those things before God. And when we do that, we can't make it through that eye of a needle. Because we're clinging on to our baggage. We're clinging on to all those things that weigh us down. For this rich young man, Jesus was saying, unpack yourself. Get rid of it. Make yourself empty. Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And come, follow me. For us, that's what Jesus is calling us to do too, is empty yourselves. Let go of it. Don't cling to it. Otherwise, you're not going to make it through that door. Jesus ends this gospel lesson with many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. Maybe another way of putting that is those who are full will be empty, and those who are empty will be full. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.